And CBS News is next on KIXI Seattle. The time now is 10 p.m.
CBS News ministers to the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries meet a few hours from now at a joint summit conference in Algiers. I'm Jim Kilpatrick reporting on the CBS radio network. The possibility of curtailing oil production because of the accumulating surplus had been a key issue for the 13-nation OPEC cartel. United Press International reports the ministers have agreed there is no immediate need for a cutback in oil production to keep prices high. President Ford is expected to announce Tuesday whether he will postpone a $1 per barrel tax on imported petroleum. White House and congressional sources say the president will postpone the tax in a compromise with Congress. More after this.
Hi, this is Phyllis Diller. You know, I love being funny because it's a way to spread a little joy and happiness. Right now, I'd like to tell you how you can spread a little joy and happiness. And more than that, help some very special people. I'm speaking of our country's 6 million mentally retarded children and adults. Like all of us, mentally retarded people need love and affection and understanding and patience. They also need a special kind of help that will enable them to develop to their fullest. It's a big job for the people who are trying to provide help to the mentally retarded. And that's where you come in. Please lend a helping hand. I'll tell you how. Join and support the work of your local association of the National Association for Retarded Citizens. So come on, give them a hand. Make a contribution to your local association. It'll give you a nice, warm, thankful glow.
The Senate Select Committee on Nutrition and Human Needs is holding hearings around the country in an effort to develop a new food stamp plan. Hearings open Tuesday in Miami, as Ike Siemens reports.
The committee chairman, Senator George McGovern, charges that the Ford administration does not like the plan and is deliberately making it difficult for people to get food stamps.
We're humiliating tens of thousands of people across this country who are standing in line from early morning and late at night just to pick up their stamps. Tens of thousands of others are standing in line to be certified, people who are eligible for stamps, but who have to go through a long waiting period, sometimes running 2 or 3 months before they can be certified. I think it's ridiculous for a government that can put a man on the moon to waste this kind of time and effort in a program that should be comparatively simple to administer.
After more fact-finding trips, Senator McGovern will propose a simplification of the food stamp program. It will include distribution by mail and through several government agencies. Ike Seaman for CBS News, Miami.
The United States has agreed to fly an additional 20,000 tons of rice to Cambodia. Several senators, including Dick Clark of Iowa, have introduced a resolution aimed at ensuring the rice goes to civilians, not to military personnel.
I think it's clear that if the rice is turned over to the military and to their families, that that means that it's simply going to be converted for military purposes. The purpose of our resolution was to try to be sure that most of the rice that was sent into Cambodia would get to the people themselves through the voluntary agencies, through our church organizations and Crop and Care and others, because we don't want that that rice aid simply converted into further military assistance.
Senator Clark. The National Conference of Mayors is meeting in Washington, complaining the recession has caused a crisis in the cities. The nation's mayors asked the federal government for more than $17 billion in aid. The keynote speaker was Mayor Lee Alexander of Syracuse.
What we have to do is continue delivering the services that's expected from mayors to the people of our cities. You know, the ordinary things of providing police protection, fire protection, educating the children. That's the responsibility of the mayor, but unfortunately he doesn't have the resources. And just as importantly is to continue providing jobs to people. Jobs are very, very necessary.
Washington sources say the mayors have little chance of winning administration support for their demands. President Ford has breakfast Tuesday morning with 75 freshman Democratic congressmen. More CBS News after this.
Young man, would you mind extinguishing that cigarette? Some of us are still eating.
Sure, lady. Forgive me.
Hey, buddy, could you find someplace else to smoke that thing? I don't use cigarettes, and I'm not crazy about inhaling yours.
Of course. Sorry.
Hello,
maybe I can enjoy a cigarette in peace. Oh, darn it, I forgot my matches. Excuse me, pal. Got a match?
Yes!
Oh, look, forget what I said. I'm giving them up. It's not worth it. I quit.
Cigarette smoking is not only harmful to your health, it's also offensive to people and other living things. Kick the habit. Join the unhooked generation. This reminder from your lung association is a matter of life and breath.
The people at the United California Bank in San Francisco have developed a new approach for customers who are overdue on their MasterCharge accounts. The second overdue message reads as follows. Hi, this is your friendly computer again. Your account is still past due. If payments are not made, I will have to refer this to a human. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for increasing cloudiness tomorrow with chance of showers. The highs in the upper 50s and lows in the upper 30s. In downtown Seattle, currently 43 degrees. It's 42 at the airport. The barometer is falling. It reads 30.25. Taking a look at sports briefly, no games scheduled tonight in the NBA. In college basketball, Southern Illinois beat Creighton. South Carolina beat Villanova. Michigan State over Purdue. Minnesota downed Wisconsin. And Michigan beat Illinois. Slugging outfielder Reggie Jackson worked out at first base today at the Oakland A's training camp in Mesa, Arizona. Jackson is the fifth player to test first base in the club's search for a spot to fit outfielder Claudell Washington into the lineup. CBS Radio Mystery Theater coming up next on KIXI. The time now is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. They say there do be girls in Galway that are the fairest in the world. Of course, there are other things in Galway, all Ireland for that matter, that you don't find anywhere else. Cluricaunes and banshees, the little folk, and of course the leprechaun himself. Blarney and the Blarney Stone itself. So many things that are hard to credit that the only way is to make a trip there for yourselves, as we are now going to do.
What, Mother of Heaven, he's at it again, Mary.
Uncle Terence?
Who else? Raglan his portrait against the chimney stones and wailing like the banshee he is.
Oh. Well, Sean, you know what he's after. Turn the picture face to the wall. And give the poor man the chance to dress himself in privacy.
All right, Mary. But where would he want to be off to today? There's no wake or wedding or holy day to celebrate.
But if he's taken advantage of the leprechaun's promise, there's something special in the wind. Now, you being the man, take a wee peep there and see if he's gone.
He's gone. The canvas is bare as a turnip.
Then mark my words, Sean Daly. We're in for some excitement in Clenfurt. I wonder what will be this time.
Our mystery drama, The Wakeful Ghost, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Paul Hecht. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Contac, the 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
You're on the open road, rolling free and feeling great about your new Buick Century. Because in published EPA mileage test results, a V6 Buick Century got the best highway mileage of any U.S. midsize car. 24 miles per gallon and 16 in the city. Your Century's comfortable, it's nimble, it's economical, and above all, it's a Buick.
Living free.
Oh, boy.
have a headache. Why do they have to make these caps so hard to open?
For a very good reason. Children open things that they shouldn't. That's why we have safety packaging. For the life of your child, you can live with a little inconvenience. For further information, write the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, Washington, D.C., 20207.
Hi, this is Jose Feliciano, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Louis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians, a national nonprofit organization working to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation exists to help talented blind musicians achieve professional status as performers and teachers, providing them with auditions, evaluations, and counseling, paid engagements to qualified musicians, and the transcription of music into Braille. The services of the Louis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person. The foundation depends entirely on your contributions. So please help. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Louis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. Help a blind musician on his way. Thank you. I come home in the evening.
Brian Mackin finished his last year of med school and found himself with $1,000 left of his inheritance and 2 weeks before he began his internship. He was weary from the long struggle for his medical degree because in spite of scholarships, he had to work outside to raise money for the 6 years of study. Both his parents were dead. So far as he knew, he was alone in the world. But his background was Irish, and he had some vague memory that an aunt and uncle were living still in the old country. So he decided to spend the 2 weeks on a vacation, which was to change his whole life.
Nobody's going to believe this, but it's exactly what happened to me in Ireland. After roaming around a few days in Dublin, I took a train for Ballinasloe in Galway, to the west. The only clue I had to my uncle and aunt was an old postcard with that postmark and their names, Sean and Mary Daly, which is sort of equivalent to John and Mary Smith. I didn't have much hope of finding them, but it was a joy just to have nothing to do with my last 3 days playing detective. No one was more surprised than I when a ruddy-faced little gentleman walked up to me at the station.
Sure, now I couldn't be mistaken, but just for the politeness of the thing and observing the formalities, Esquire. But you wouldn't be Brian Mackin from America.
Yes, that's exactly who I would be.
And now you're maybe wondering who I am.
Yes, I am indeed.
Sure, I'm your great-uncle Terence on your mother's side, once or twice removed, for I was born on the wrong side of the blanket, they say. I don't know myself nor care, for sure. In my own opinion, I was a changeling, which accounts for my close associations that's of no matter for the moment. Terence Kruskin is the name. Terence Kinsella Clonmay Kruskin. But sure, Uncle Terence will serve. 'Tis the way most people know me.
Well, I'm still puzzled. How did you know me?
I've a little cart and a pony waiting. Oh. And if we want to get to your aunt and uncle's before dark, I'm thinking we'd best get along. And I'll tell you all on the way.
I don't mean to be rude, sir, but I still would like to know how you knew I was coming here today. I only made up my mind on the spur of the moment this morning.
Ah, now that's where you're wrong, do you see?
What do you mean?
Well, while we're riding along, would you like a little dash of poteen to warm the cockles of your heart?
Is that the Irish whiskey you make out of bog water that's about 180 proof?
The same?
No, thanks. No, that's the stuff I had last night in Dublin that knocked me out like a Mickey. I'm still not over it.
Well, now then, to answer your question.
Yeah.
How I knew to expect you. Uh-huh. Do you remember the little chap in the green bowler you met at the snort last night?
Oh, yeah, I remember him. He introduced me to this nectar.
Well, now, McDroosh is a friend of mine.
Well, that's not what he said last night.
That he wasn't a friend?
No, I mean that wasn't his name.
Oh, he probably called himself Michael Mahan or some such.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure, that's what he uses as a cover when he's out and about the town.
What is he, a secret agent, IRA or something?
Not him. He's all peace and goodwill. He's a leprechaun.
A leprechaun?
That's right.
Oh, God, come on, Uncle Terence. Stop pulling my leg. Michael Mahan was no leprechaun.
Did he have a little green bowler?
Well, I don't know if you could call it green. It was
green.
Old.
And did he have pointy little ears just under his hat rim at the top, like?
Well, as a matter of fact, medically, I was interested because the auricular cartilage was strangely shaped.
The what was what?
At the top of his ears.
Ah, there. You see? There's your answer. Enough to convince an American. Anyway, your friend the leprechaun sent me a message in a way that we have. And that's
this
how
must
I...
be the greatest put-on of all time. You're not going to tell me you're a leprechaun, too.
Oh, no. I'm more of a banshee, you might call me, but with special privileges. Oh, yes, quite special. But that can wait. Oh,
is this where my aunt and uncle live?
It is.
Sean and Mary Daly?
That's who they are.
Are they expecting me?
Lord bless you, no, but you'll be welcome, son, as welcome as the flowers in May. Here, take your bags and jump on down.
Aren't you coming in with me to introduce me?
Well, sure, you're a nice, well-mannered lad, and you'll manage by yourself. But it's time enough to put Maureen and the cat and myself away till any of us is needed. God hold you in his pocket till we meet again.
We are going to, aren't we?
Oh, yes, indeed. I don't know how to be arranged, but I have plans for you and the future of more than one.
At the moment he was calling it back to me, the twilight was upon us. It must have been some trick of the rising evening mist, but I swear, before he reached the corner of the building, Uncle Terence, the old-fashioned cart, and Maureen, who pulled it, seemed to disappear in the gathering gloom.
Good evening to you, young gentleman.
Excuse me, are you by any chance Mrs. Sean Daly?
I am that.
Did you have a brother who emigrated to America called Thomas Mackin?
I did. And you're from America?
Yeah.
You couldn't be. Is it Brian you are? Brian Mackin, whose mother was Marjorie Denise.
That's me. Hi, Aunt Mary.
Oh, Brian. Oh, me darling boy, me darling boy.
Oh, forgive me. Come in.
Sean, will you look who's here? It's Tommy's son and Marjorie's. This is your Uncle Sean.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Sit down. Sean, take the boy's bag.
Yes.
How did you ever find us? Oh, it's been years since we lost track. Sean and me had to move so sudden-like, and our letters seemed to go astray. Now tell me about Tom and Margaret.
Well, Mother and Dad both died suddenly within a month of each other. I've been so busy burying myself in schoolwork, I didn't... Well, I let everything else go.
Oh, you poor darling. Oh, if I'd known. Oh, you must tell us all about it.
Can I get you a wee nip to settle you?
Oh, no, thanks. I'm learning to be careful of Irish nips.
Well, then I'll get you something to eat. Now, you'll stay the night with us in a few days?
Sure, I've got till the weekend before I have to catch my plane home.
Oh.
Anyway, I'll wait to have dinner with all of you. Aunt Mary, Uncle Sean, Uncle Terence.
Uncle who?
Uncle Terence. He met me at the station, brought me here. I'd never have found you without him. He just went to put the horse and cart away.
A little mare with one black eye and one white?
Yeah, that's Maureen.
And did you expect to meet him at the station?
No, he absolutely floored me. I mean, the only reason I came to Ballinasloe was because I found an old card from you to Mother with a postmark. I was just taking a wild stab in the dark that someone might know about you or where you live. I wanted to... Well, I mean, as far as I know, you are my only living relative.
Oh, we are, darling, we are.
Well, I didn't know about Uncle Terence and... Well...
And what, Brian? You can be free with us.
Well, I don't know what to say. He talked about
leprechauns and banshees, you know, that sort of thing. Oh, I might have thought he was a little, I guess you'd say touched, except for... Well, I shouldn't talk this way. I loved him. He was fun and amusing, full of a wonderful zest for life, but sort of scary, too. Is he the same at home here?
Oh, he can be all of those, though we don't see much of it anymore. Uncle Terence is a great problem to us.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Nothing to do with you.
I hope you won't tell him some of the things I just said or intimated. When he comes in for dinner, I mean.
He won't be here for dinner.
Oh, I thought he lived here.
Well, so he does in a sort of way.
I think it's time that we told the boy the truth, Sean, as best we can.
Yes. Well, you had a good long look at Uncle Terence. He wouldn't forget it.
Oh, no, never.
Look behind the picture and make sure...
Yes. Yes, he's back again. Now, come here. You see this portrait, Brian? Now, would that be Uncle Terence?
Oh, yeah. That's him. That's him to the life.
You not exactly. The gentleman you are looking at has been dead these 35 years.
What?
The only problem is that he won't stay decently in his grave.
So Brian Mackin has come all the way to Ireland to find a real uncle and aunt. And in addition, a quite unreal uncle. A man who appears to be able to rise from the grave full-bodied by the mere device of having his portrait turned to the wall. No wonder Brian is convinced that it's all illusionary, a pipe dream programmed by that potent poteen. And yet, this is only the beginning. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. A little better.
Sneezing, drips, congestion. What next?
6 or 3 or 1.
Is that an answer or a question?
That's the question when you catch the common cold. For you, the answer is 12-hour contact.
Why?
Well, because you need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact capsule for up to 12 hours continuous relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. The tiny time pills do it. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin.
And contact doesn't.
Right. So, 6 or 3 or 1. Your cold, your choice.
I'll take the 1 contact, thank you.
Give your cold to contact. The
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact only as directed.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Sam Spud, private investigator.
Oh, Sam, I'm so glad you called.
You sound rattled, Angel.
I'm frantic, Sam. I went to buy the carpet for the office, and I got so confused. There are too many kinds. I didn't know what to ask or what to buy.
I'll help you, young lady.
Mercy! Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, when you're choosing carpet, make sure you pick a long-wearing one that'll go with your walls, draperies, and upholstery. Beware of so-called fantastic bargains. And don't buy a carpet that isn't labeled as the fiber content.
Oh, Sam, now I know what to look for and ask before I buy a carpet.
You floor me, Angel.
Just another helpful tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Again to our world of fantasy and a young American trapped in a web of superstition, illusion, or perhaps just the spell the Emerald Island can weave so easily about any visitor to its shores. Still, whatever doubts and fears he may have taken to bed with him, they are all dispelled by a glorious sunrise that wakes him up with cockcrow.
My window faced to the east, with the sun streaming in and striking shafts of golden light from a blue river a few miles away. I climbed out of the host of warm blankets and quilt that covered my bed. The room was cold enough for me to seek the sun's warmth directly. And it was there, at the window, I first saw Sheila. She was not a small girl. She was tall and sturdy. But she walked as though each footfall was no heavier than a feather landing on the ground. She had long brown hair and purple eyes, with a wide mouth that, well, once I saw it break in a smile, made me make up my mind this was going to be my gal. Since she was approaching the house carrying a basket, I don't suppose I ever dressed faster in my life to get down in time not to miss meeting her.
Good morning, Brian. Did you sleep well?
Oh, yes, the best sleep I've had since I can remember.
Sure, it was a short enough one, and you so tired.
Well, that cock was crowing, and...
that old rooster, he's an old fake. Small use he is to hens anymore, his best days being over. Never a chick in the last 2 years. There's not over 4 or 5 layers we have left. So Sheila here and me, we have a bargain. Oh, you'll not have met Sheila O'Shaughnessy from the next farm over. Sheila, this is my nephew, all the way from the United States of America.
It's a pleasure to make your acquaintance, Mr...
Mackin. Brian Mackin.
Oh, it's a good West Country name. Mr. Mackin.
Yeah, well, my grandfather came from here. From Galway, I mean. They say he was quite a bully boy.
Aye. Well, those days are past, praise be. Still, the way things are, we were better off with the shillelagh than the gun.
Oh, well, I couldn't agree with you more. Anyone who plans to be a doctor...
Is that what you're away to be?
Well, I already am. I mean, I've graduated and have my license. Now I have to intern and be a hospital resident for a few years till I start out on my own.
Oh, that's grand. I have a great admiration for doctors.
No, then this'll have to hold, or the bread'll burn up on us. And I want you to get it home with a little heat left in it.
This is Mrs. Daly's bargain with me. I bring her a basket of eggs, and she bakes the most delicious bread this side of heaven.
Here's the basket. Keep the towel tucked in good and tight, ma'am.
Never fear.
That's a heavy basket, Why don't I carry it for you to your house?
I was going to give you your breakfast.
Yeah, well, it'll wait. I always like a little exercise before I eat.
Well, you'll be after getting that, all right. It's a good mile and a half to Sheila's place.
Oh.
And a road like a switchback all the way.
Oh, the basket is nothing. It's light as a feather.
No, I really would like a walk, if you don't object.
I don't object. I've a curious turn of mind. And I'd like to hear all about America.
Oh, what I'd really like you... to be able to do is to show it to you, but why don't you show me Ireland first?
Yeah. Was that Sheila O'Shaughnessy then?
The same.
Oh, now, damn it. Well, why didn't she wait long enough for me to get down and get my little marnin' peck on the cheek, huh?
Sure, she has little interest in an old gaffer like you. But you should have seen her reaction to Brian. And his to her.
Well, will you look at the two of them? She's over shoulder high to him. Oh, what a fine couple they'd make.
Don't I know it. And don't I know just as well I should never have let the boy go off with even a pinch of hope in his heart. No, and she can't ever be for him.
Is it really true that in Chicago they have a building that's 96 whole stories high in the air?
Well, yeah, that's true enough. It's so damn high that half the time the people on the top floors can't tell what to wear when they go out.
Well, how is that?
Well, you see, it's air conditioned. And when the cloud cover is low, they can't see down to the street, so they don't know if it's raining or snowing or cold or hot or what.
Will you just imagine that now, living above the clouds. It'd be a sort of fairyland.
Well, nothing like the one you live in here. Right on the ground.
Oh, sure. Air is lovely. But there are other lovely places in the world I'd want to see.
Hey, you know a lot about America anyway.
Well, I watch the telly, you know. And I read a lot. And I... Oh, here. It's winded you are. I'll slow down a bit.
It's this damn hill. Up and down like a roller coaster.
That's what Mrs. Daly meant by a switchback.
I'm surprised to find myself so out of condition.
Will you be staying with the Dalys for a while?
On one condition.
What's that?
That you'll take another walk with me. Tomorrow's Saturday. We could take a picnic lunch along and climb that mountain over there.
Oh, I'm afraid I couldn't do that.
You have another date?
No, it's not that. Oh, you see, my dad's dead. And it's just my mother and me, and she's half crippled with rheumatism.
Oh.
I couldn't be leaving her all alone all that time. And then there's the farm chores to be
done. I could come over and help you get those out of the way.
Ah, Dr. Mackin.
Brian.
Well, it's a bit soon in Aura, but if you want, Brian. Oh, it's just no good. It's not the way it should be.
You don't want to go with me. Is that it, Sheila?
Sheila. I do want to, Brian, I do.
Oh, well, then come.
It'd be my only chance now. I'll meet you. Here, by this brig we're about to cross. And before dawn tomorrow, so we'll not be seen. We'll spend a whole long, lovely day together. With no one the wiser.
But can I tell Uncle Sean and Aunt Mary?
Oh, don't tell anyone. It's our secret.
But the picnic...
I'll take care of that. Now you leave me here. Till tomorrow at, say, 4:30.
Well, whatever you say. Sheila...
I know. So do I. God help the both of us.
He was gone in a second with that light, loping stride that covered ground almost as fast as a man running. I watched her as long as I could, away down that dusty, twisting, hilly road, appearing and disappearing, till at last she was out of sight, but not out of mind. Never out of mind, Sheila. Just her name was a song of love. I walked back on air, but fortunately, as it turned out, as I came back in the house, the first thing my eye fell on was the portrait of Uncle Terence, and for the moment, Sheila was out of my mind. Oh, no, thanks. I really couldn't eat another thing. Now, the only thing I'm hungry for now is information.
About Sheila, is that you mean?
Sheila? I'd rather find out about her directly.
Brian, about Sheila, maybe I ought to tell you something.
No, Uncle, I'd rather for the moment stick to Uncle Terence.
Hmm?
Now, you said he's been dead for nearly 35 years.
Oh, yeah, 2 years almost to the day before that portrait was painted. He died in 1940.
Now, are you sure of that?
Oh, sure, I know it well. I was just a slip of a girl not married to Sean yet. But it was the biggest wake this part of Galway has ever seen. Ah, 'tis a pity he couldn't have enjoyed it for himself. He always was the life and soul of them with his stories and all.
Ah, yes, he does dearly love a wake, just as much as a wedding.
I did, Sean.
Did what?
Did love a wake.
But
now, look, I saw him last night. I talked to him. He brought me here.
Now, lad, you'll have to remember, you had a wee drop taken, and poteen can scramble a man's brain.
I can't believe that the drip... How did Uncle Terence die?
A hero at Dunkirk.
Dunkirk?
Ah, he was in the First World War, you know, in the Navy. And nothing would do but he ought to be in the last big one, too.
But a man 60 years old, they wouldn't take him.
No.
So he joined up with the Home Guard. When the retreat at Dunkirk came, with his Navy experience, he was taking a boat back and forth the whole 3 days.
And when he saw that it would be his last trip, he found one of the fighting boys to take his ship back and gave up his own place to stay behind with a machine gun.
The last boat out, just ahead of the Jerry's, brought him back. Oh, they say he had more lead in him than salt in a full salt cellar.
But his finger was still wrapped around the trigger of his gun.
It was a sad wake, that, Uncle Terence's. The only sad one I'd ever been to. Although... none of them are the same without him to keep the jokes flying.
Even McElmahan had naught but sorrow in him. Him who always had a twinkle in his eye. I remember him just
standing in front of the portrait there. Just standing. Not even drinking from his glass.
And do you remember what he said? It was this. A brass of a boy, Terence, me bucko. And you should have lived 100 years. Well, don't you worry. We'll see you do.
I always wondered what he meant by that.
Well, now, don't you see? If he was McDrewish, I mean, if Mahan was a real leprechaun...
Now, tush, boy. Don't let our Irish fancies run off with you. Sure, all he meant was he wouldn't be soon forgotten. Well, now, I have to be off to work, and Mary has things to do, and Brian.
Yeah.
Don't dwell on Uncle Terence. Find some other thoughts to fill your head.
Yes, I have. I have.
And that's the Great Bog to the north. Don't ever go near there, Brian.
Why not, Sheila?
Once the peat catches you, you'll never get free. And they say it'll swallow a man in less than a minute. To the southwest are the rest of the Schlevachty Mountains, the ones we're in now. And away down there, to the southeast, is the River Shannon.
What's the matter? Are you cold?
How could I be cold with your arm about me? Bold. That's what I am. Bold.
Because you love me. And how could you be bashful with a man who loves you now, tomorrow, and forever? I just can't believe my luck.
Don't.
Don't what?
Ah, Brian Boyne, don't say anything else. It's all been madness from the start.
Love from the start.
For us, the same thing. I should never have allowed you to. But I wanted. I loved. And sure, God can't punish me too deep for just one day of all I've dreamed. Kiss me. We've got to go. It's twilight already.
Oh, just a little longer. And what about tomorrow?
We have no tomorrows. Just kiss me. Goodbye, my love. Goodbye, Brian. Goodbye.
Again she was gone from me on the wind, gliding and leaping down the mountain, picnic basket in hand, as sure-footed and graceful as a mountain goat.
Sheila! Sheila! Wait!
She didn't stop to look back, and I plunged down after her, recklessly and clumsily as a boar. I hadn't gone 50 yards before I caught my foot on some trailing root, falling heavily and knocking myself stone cold for a moment. By the time I came to, she was gone from sight. And in the gathering darkness, limping heavily, it was all I could do to find my way back to the Daly Farm.
Brian, my darling, there you are. Sure, we thought you might be lost in the dark.
Yeah, I'm lost in the dark, all right, Aunt Mary. Now, look, I don't know if it's another of your Irish fantasies or what.
Oh, where have you been all day, lad? Oh, and you're hurt. Yeah. Sean!
Yes.
Come in here.
Oh, well, I'm coming, Mary. Wait. Well, you sound as though someone put the fear of God in you. What,
yes.
What's happened at all?
It's Brian. He's hurt.
What?
And more than physically, I'm thinking, were you with Sheila O'Shaughnessy this day?
Yes, I was. And I love her. And I know she loves me.
Oh.
But she's told me goodbye. Why? I mean, am I crazy? Is she just another figment of my imagination?
Oh, you see, Sean, I told you we should have told the boy the truth.
Yeah, well, better late than never. Sheila is engaged to be married to Malachi Malloy.
Well, is that all?
Huh?
Well, then all she has to do is break
it. No, she has a marriage contract.
Well, surely that has no real legal standing.
Today, no. Except, a few years ago, Sheila's father had a heart attack. He got into financial difficulties, and the only way out was through Malloy, the loan shark. He lent him the money in exchange for his daughter when she became 21. Well, sure, Joe thought he could have things straightened out before then, but he suddenly had a second attack and died.
Well, I'll pay the money back.
Have you got it?
Well, no, not right now, but as soon
as... Oh, no good for Malachi Malloy. Besides, you make so much as one move at Sheila, and in this county, He'd have his woolly boys sew you in a sack and bury you in the peat bog. And the wedding is day after tomorrow.
Now, look, just wait a minute. I mean, this is crazy. This is the 20th century. I'm an American citizen. Must be something I can do. What the devil was that?
Oh, it's Uncle Terence. He wants out again. The Lord knows what he'll stir up this time. But there's no way to stop the man.
So, here we are back again about where we started. Or are we? But what can Uncle Terence do or undo, even supposing that's what he's after? Still, why couldn't it be, since he's now well established as a denizen of the afterworld? I'll return shortly with Act Three.
You're driving a car you knew you were going to buy the minute you saw it. Skyhawk. Buick Skyhawk. You just knew a car this streamlined would be easy on gas, and you were right. In published EPA mileage test results, Skyhawk got 25 miles per gallon on the open road and 16 in the city. Skyhawk. It's rakish, it's low slung, it looks European, but it's a Buick.
Living free.
This is Nikki Giovanni speaking for the March of Dimes. I really like words. And, as a poet, my work depends on them. Sometimes, just a few words can carry a very important message, like help fight birth defects for the health of our future generations.
So join the March of Dimes today and find a way of life.
In God we trust. America speaks.
From Abraham Lincoln's creed, I believe in God, the almighty ruler of nations, our great and good and merciful maker, our Father in heaven, who notes the fall of a sparrow and numbers the hairs on our heads. I have a solemn vow registered in heaven to finish the work I am in full view of my responsibility to my God, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives me to see the right.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
It was W.S. Gilbert, probably the finest lyricist of all time, who wrote of John Wellington Wells that he was a dealer in magic and spells, in blessings and curses, and ever-filled purses, in prophecies, witches, and knells. I mention him only because it brings us back to our story of magic, fantasy, and, so far, pleasant sorcery. But will it remain that way as Uncle Terence's picture rocks on the wall, and once again we hear the eldritch scream of the banshee wail?
I'll turn the picture to the wall.
But if he's going to appear, he'll only be to the one who turns the picture.
I think this time we'd better let it be Brian.
Look, I'm not going to ask any questions anymore. Just leave me alone. I'll turn the picture.
But Brian!
Come away, Mary. We're out of this entirely.
Right, Uncle Terence, or whoever you are, I am about to turn the picture. And all I say is, you get me Sheila, or show me how to get her. And I don't care what the price is, short of my immortal soul, and I'll pay that gladly. Here you go.
Ah, who wants your immortal soul?
Where are you?
Turn around. You have eyes, haven't you? Sitting right here in the fireplace, Nook.
What are you? Fact or fiction?
Oh, why now, in a manner of speaking, I'd say somewhere in between.
Well, does it make any sense to talk to you?
All the sense in the world.
Even suppose I believed, if you're a banshee.
Now, what's the matter with a banshee?
Well, it's evil, isn't it?
Ah, the abysmal ignorance of the word. A banshee, young man, is a domestic spirit devoted to the care of its own particular family.
Oh, well, are you going to help Sheila and me?
Oh, sure, I'm going to do my best, but I'm not infallible. We'll have to be quick and nimble as the devil on this one.
Well, why can't I just go to this Malachi Malloy and straighten it out man to man?
To begin with, did you ever see him?
No.
Oh, he's formidable, lad. No doubt of that. The man is a giant, and he's made of steel.
Well, look, whose side are you on, mine or his?
Easy, lad, easy. Am I not the Banshee, and aren't you one of the family? Besides, he's a black Irisher if there ever was one. They've got to take thought in this if you're to have the chance I brought you here for in the first place.
You brought me here?
Well, sure, you didn't think as an American you'd have enough sense to get here and pick the right Irish girl for yourself. Now, let me go on back up to my frame and get everything shipshape and squared away. I'll see you on the morrow. And, psst, watch your step.
Uncle Sean and Mary were off to bed by the time our conference was through. I was grateful. I didn't want to talk about Sheila or her intended husband any more that night. I hoped to sleep, but I tossed and turned till morning, and then made the mistake of stepping outside the house for a breath of air. Coming down the road towards me was a great mountain of a man, all covered with black hair wherever his clothes didn't conceal it. And one thing his clothes could not conceal were the bulging muscles that strained at every seam. He was a good 5 inches taller than I was and 30 pounds heavier. And
would you be the American Brian Mackins?
That's my name.
I'm Malachi Malloy.
Well, I kind of guessed that.
I'm of the understanding that you took my intended bride of the mountain yesterday.
Well, she was kind enough to take me up for a picnic and show me the countryside.
A picnic, was it? And the grass stains all over her dress. I should have brought a whip. But instead, I'm going to beat you with my bare hands.
Malachi, don't.
Now, you stay out of this, Sheila.
What's going on, Brian?
Oh, it's just a little something between me and Mr. Malloy.
Oh, the Lord be praised. Keep them apart and kill them. Oh. Don't touch him, Malachi.
Now, you stay back, woman, or I'll kill him. Now, put your hands up, Mackin.
If God always defends the right, he was out for breakfast that morning. Now, I'm not exactly... Patsy and I usually can take care of myself in a fight. But this was a willy path against a Marciano. He just made hamburger of me until he stopped and turned with me lying at his feet.
Have you learned a lesson as well as him, Sheila girl? If you haven't, I'll beat him to death. I'll make sure he never rises again.
Oh, in sweet Mary's name, leave him be, Malachi. I'll marry no one but you if you'll just leave him be.
All right, so be it. Now get out of this country tonight, Mackin, or I'll wring your neck like a chicken's.
Oh. Who's that?
Open the window and let me in. Quick, though, I'm fading in the daylight.
Uncle Darren, the picture.
Now, watch. Let me in there. And close those curtains before I disappear entirely. There, now, sure, that's better that is.
What are you? You're just a portrait. And how could you get to the second floor window?
Shh, a warning. The only trouble I ever found with a girl is they talk too much. The answer to it all is, I'm a banshee, and I look out for my own. Brian is one of them.
Oh, how is he? Was he sore hurt?
Oh, a few bruises, and maybe he lost a tooth or cracked a rib. But what's that to a broken heart? You should know. Am I right?
If you mean the way I feel, I was getting ready to tie a sack of potatoes around my neck, throw myself in the Shannon.
Well, now, that'd be a whole lot of help. Now, I have a better idea. How would you like to meet Brian at Clonmely's Gate on the way into the Great Bog tonight at midnight?
I can't do it. I owe my father his debts. And besides, Malachi would kill him.
All right. Spare me all the melodramatics. What I mean is, how would you like to convince that hickory-headed, lame-brained Malachy. That's what you plan to do.
Why?
Now, what is a banshee for? Will you let me take care of the arrangements from then on?
I will, Uncle Terence. I will.
And if I'm successful, will you let me give you away when you marry Ryan?
How could a banshee do that?
Oh, you let me handle that, too. Just say yes.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Is that the banshee himself?
Is it the leprechaun? God save you, McGrush.
God save you, Terence Crookin.
Come here, Brian. Get us a firefly there so we can see what we're at. There, now. That's better.
Do you see what Malachy did to the lad?
What do you want, right, Brian?
Yeah, well, I took a good beating, but I'll live. It's nice to see you again, Mr. Maha.
Yeah, he said, no. Now, we all know what to do.
Yeah, I just show myself in the moonlight with you in that cape and hood, and then...
And then McGrush will dematerialize you back to the farm.
Right.
And Malachy will have no one to chase but me, thinking I'm Sheila. I'll tell you all the rest later. You have the shoes, McGrush.
Just the one. You know, we leprechauns never make but one magic shoe.
Well, no matter. I can hop like a toad long enough until he's well in the bog. Psst, no. Tis midnight. Here he comes. Send Brian home, McGrush. And give me the shoe. Off we go.
Sheila, I warn you. Wait for me. So you tried to slip away with your light of love, eh? But you won't get away from me so easy. Hey, where are you leading me?
What? We're in the bog. I'm caught. I'm sinking. Sheila, help me. I'm sinking in the bog. Now come back. Come back! Now there's a darling girl. You wouldn't let me go down to a dark, murky death, you that knows every path in it. Well, it's not you. It's just... It can't be. The Bogles have a hold on me. It's Terence Crookin. And who's that wee man beside you?
Oh, little friend. One of the wee green men. Here we are, your nemesis or your saviors. Oh. And which would you want us to be?
Oh, Lord alive! Save me! I'm up to my waist already.
That's no problem. A little piece of paper. And since it's hard to read in the moonlight, I'll give you the gist, as they say. I, Malachy Mahoy, hereby legally and completely accept the fact that all debts or claims against Thomas O'Shaughnessy are revoked and considered null and void.
This is blackmail.
So was what you did to my friend. And the bog is even blacker, and you're sinking even deeper.
All right, I'll sign.
There's a wee bit more.
What, Mark?
I also cancelled the marriage contract between myself and Sheila O'Shaughnessy, and in consequence of my breach of promise, I award her the sum of £2,000 to see her and her mother started off in a new country. In exchange, I would accept the farm, now mortgaged to me, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
For God's sake, stop talking! I'm up to my chest already. I'll sign anything.
But would you live up to it? Now, there's the reason.
Oh, please!
You wouldn't have any idea now of attacking young Brian again.
No!
Should we trust him, do you think, McGrush?
Sure. He's an Irishman after all. I'd get one in trouble enough, and you never have to worry.
Goodbye. Happy future.
Don't forget to send pictures of the wedding.
Oh, goodbye.
Sorry I have to leave. I have to get back for my job.
Oh, we're sorry, too, but we'll take care of Mother O'Shaughnessy till you're married and have a place to stay.
Well, Mary, all's well that ends well, but who'd have thought it?
You said they made a wonderful couple.
I'll never understand how Malachi suddenly got so generous.
I'll never understand why, but I can guess how.
What do you mean?
Take a look. We're going to have to get a new picture to hang over the fireplace.
Oh, now what's it doing turned to the wall again? What's he up to now?
It isn't turned to the wall.
Huh?
It's just a blank canvas.
What do you mean?
Have a look for yourself.
Holy mother, it's blank on both sides. Where's Uncle Terence?
I've a feeling he's off to America. He always did want to see the United States. Well, we can leave it up to Sheila and Brian to worry about him now.
You can believe it or not, but to the best of my knowledge, that's the way it happened. And if there was a lot of magic in it, there's just as much in love. The exact quote doesn't spring to mind for the moment, but the burden of it is that no matter what happens, love will find a way. I'll be back shortly.
The end of a mystery show. I hope nobody swoons. So long, folks, it's time to go. Thanks for staying tuned. We'll be back by and by with more of Radio Set. A tale to terrify or give you cardiac arrest. We guarantee our story will send chills right up your spine. Just make sure that you're the one who chills the Vigna wine. But for now, turn on the light and open up the lock. Hope we didn't leave you in a fright. We're in a state of shock. We'll be back with more suspense to make your head turn gray. Brought to you with compliments of the important Vigna Rosé.
Water by Dewline, Hartford, Connecticut.
Brian and Sheila were married a month later in the States. Everyone who was there agreed they were as handsome a couple as you could ask for. But the real hit of the celebration was a shortish, ruddy-faced little gentleman with an Irish accent to go with his Irish face and his Irish wit. It was sad that he died so soon after the wedding, but it was hard to cry for him, remembering all the laughs he brought with him. Our cast included Paul Hecht, Virginia Payne, Jada Rowland, Leon Janney, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Tammy, look up toward the ceiling. That is a blade, you see, a blade shaped like a big headsman's axe, and it's razor sharp.
Don't listen to him, Tammy. He's trying to frighten you.
Exactly what I'm trying to do, Tammy, for reasons that are quite obvious, I should think. Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Now, that large razor sharp blade, Tammy, is attached to a pendulum that swings back and forth and gets an inch lower on each swing.
An inch lower on each swing?
Yes. And so anyone strapped to that slab on the floor... Look down now, Tammy, to the floor. You see the slab with the straps?
Yes.
Anyone strapped to that slab will, in time, be cut in half.
Tammy, don't listen.
Slowly. Cut in half slowly, Tammy.
You wouldn't.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by imported Vigna Rosé wine. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
CBS News next on KIXI, AM and FM in Seattle. Increasing cloudiness tomorrow with chance of showers, highs in the upper 50s, lows in the upper 30s. And currently it's 42 degrees in downtown Seattle at 11 o'clock.
CBS News. President Ford is expected to veto the bill that would wipe out his tariff increase on imported oil, but at the same time, he's expected to yield to congressional pressure, delaying any further increases. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Compromise seems to be the prevailing mood in Washington as both the White House and Congress seek the middle ground in handling the energy crisis. White House spokesmen have made no secret the president on Tuesday will veto the bill blocking his oil import tariff hikes for 90 days. But the further word is that he'll announce a 60-day delay on two additional $1 a barrel boosts announced earlier. The House Ways and Means Committee seems to be the key to a compromise, having put forth proposals for gradual but substantial increases in the federal gasoline tax and a federal excise tax on new cars having relatively high gasoline consumption. Senior administration witnesses testifying before the committee indicated those alternatives could be acceptable to Mr. Ford. The Arab oil embargo and world commodity shortages are blamed by the Federal Reserve's regional bank in Boston for causing a slump in the nation's economy that is worse than government indicators show. A bank report says the economy slipped 3% from January to February and is off more than 21% since July of 1973. Boston Federal Reserve Assistant Vice President Richard Syron told CBS News just how serious the recession is.
The inflation brought us into a situation where the economy now is in about the worst decline that we've seen in the post-war period. And that means that we're seeing more unemployment and more of a decline in gross national product and all of the things that go along with that.
Housing construction starts fell again last month. The Commerce Department reports residential and public construction down by more than 4.5%. CBS News continues following this message.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your call to contact. The sooner the better.
Sneezing, drips, congestion. What next?
6 or 3 or 1.
Is that an answer or a question?
That's the question when you catch the common cold. For you, the answer is 12-hour contact.
Why?
Well, because you need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact capsule for up to 12 hours continuous relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. The tiny time pills do it. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin.
And contact doesn't.
Right. So, 6 or 3 or 1. Your cold, your choice.
I'll take the 1 contact, thank you.
Give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact only as directed.
A State Department spokesman has disclosed the United States has arranged to fly 20,000 metric tons of rice from South Vietnam to Cambodia. 4 senators, meanwhile, introduced a resolution aimed at thwarting the reported Cambodian government decision to reserve all rice for the military. The Senate measure would require that at least half of all food aid to Cambodia be distributed by voluntary organizations. The rice being transferred from South Vietnam will be distributed by U.S. and international voluntary agencies. The 7 congressmen and 1 senator just back from a fact-finding trip to Indochina reportedly reached majority agreement on continuing U.S. military aid to Cambodia through June, and they agreed to vote for spending another $75 million for emergency food aid. A policy turnaround in the offing in Thailand, where the government has proposed a gradual withdrawal of all U.S. military personnel from the country. The Pentagon wasn't ready for that, as we hear from CBS News Pentagon correspondent Ike Pappas.
The possibility that all American military personnel and equipment, including strategic bombers, may have to be pulled out of Thailand took the Pentagon by surprise. A Defense Department source said the Pentagon has received no notice from the Thais and have asked for a clarification of the situation. Secretary of Defense James Schlesinger is known to believe that the Thai move is a political gesture on the part of the new civilian government there to appease certain elements that have been agitating for the quick removal of American forces. There was also speculation among Pentagon analysts that the heated debate on Capitol Hill over emergency aid for Cambodia might have influenced the Thai decision. And their reasoning goes like this. the ties, sensing congressional unwillingness to appropriate the emergency funds and possibly save Cambodia, are beginning to question the United States' commitment to come to Thailand's assistance should the communists next try to take over there. Ike Pappas, CBS News, The Pentagon. Now, this message.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's new Hemorrhoid ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Vaseline Hemorrhoid. It's new. Use only as directed.
When is a coffee can not a coffee can?
When it can't.
I don't know, but I bet we'll all find out tomorrow on Mike Roy's Cook Thing here on the CBS Radio Net.
Hmm? You are so right, Dennis, because tomorrow we're going to take a recipe of a friend in Sykeston, Missouri, and make a coffee can bread.
How about that?
New way to make bread, and certainly a new way to use a coffee can.
Yes, you can say that again.
I will. New way to use a coffee can.
Well, we're going to get a coffee break in the bread can tomorrow. Is that what it is? Yes,
that's
on
right.
Mike Roy's Cooking Thing here on the CBS Radio Net.
I'm Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI, with the time now is 6 minutes past 11.